Time to talk gadgetry with the gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp, whom you can find on Twitter at Gadget Detective. Morning, Fevzi.
Hello there.
Delighted to have you with us once again. And the tech story of the week, which I have to say is one that really surprised me, is that Elon Musk has ordered all staff to return to the office full time. Remote working is no longer acceptable. He says, I thought this was the...
For
a minimum of 40 hours a week. So they put the hours in if you work for him. This seems a very strange state of affairs for a modern boss in a modern age, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's running sort of cutting-edge companies. I'm not sure how modern he might be as an individual. I mean, looking at what he said. I mean, someone objected to it and he said, well, they should pretend to work somewhere else. And he also apparently said that... if they don't come into work, then he'll assume they've resigned.
Yeah, so, this is scary
and
stuff.
That people wanting exemptions, presumably for medical reasons or what have you, he's going to review the request for exemptions personally. Ooh. So basically, you've got to ask Elon Musk, your mega boss, for an exemption. But, that's really not right, is it? Because
workers' rights, do they not have them anymore?
Well, obviously this is primarily in America. Yeah, and he's even said, don't think you can just go into your local Tesla office and think that cuts it. You have to go to the right, the place that's relevant to your workplace. And, it's kind of interesting. I mean, one thing I'd say is I assume, and I don't know, but I assume that they have laws that say that employers have to provide safe working environments, as we do in the UK and the European Union. I think there must be something, some onus, otherwise, companies will be sued for providing unsafe environments. And that's one of the reasons why, for example, there's no smoking allowed in pubs and so forth here. So the question is, can he guarantee everyone's safety if someone catches COVID from a colleague at work? If one could prove that, is he gonna pay for the cost of their treatment? Is he gonna pay for the loss of earnings during long COVID and other forms of compensation? Is he willing to do that? Because I just think that it's a decision that has to be balanced. I also think from a technological point of view, it's interesting because. Obviously, one of the things that changed with the advent of COVID and people working from home is that we got up to speed pretty much on video calls, Zoom and FaceTime and Skype and all that.
Indeed,
And it's true to say that all the tools that we need for remote working are not there yet, and that's why things like the metaverse are also going to be important. That's going to be one of the uses of it because you're going to be able to sit at a virtual table with your virtual colleagues and look to your left and see one colleague and look to your right and see the other and interact with them in a more realistic way. And that's not there yet. So, I think he's got a point, but I just think that, he's being a bit harsh about it.
Why is he doing it this way? I mean, I know is this just an ego power trip or could there be good reasons why you would be so dogmatic and so black and white on an issue, which, as you've just beautifully described, is many shades of grey, as most issues are.
Yeah, and it's effectively talking. He's accusing them of malingering because, when someone objected, he said, well, what should they do? He said they should pretend to work somewhere else. Which means that he believes
it's horrible.
That people are remote
it's really
working
horrible.
Are pretending to work.
Yeah.
I think it's partly his personality, frankly. But I also note that they don't have a PR department at Tesla, and that he isn't.
Maybe they should.
Well, yes, but he's getting. It's actually hard work for me each week when I choose a story not to make it an Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX story every week. And not necessarily for technological reasons, all the things, that he's done and hasn't done. And for goodness sake, the man's even been in the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. I don't know if you've been watching that.
No, I didn't know that. No, no.
Yes, apparently. Yes. But
he's become, incredibly rich because he's presumably a great businessman. And if people can work from home, potentially there's a huge cost saving there, for example, isn't there? Not only do happier workers save you money because they don't leave and they do their best for you rather than getting away with the minimum, but just in practical terms, you could slash your costs if you set people up at home whenever possible and said just come into the office when when you really need to. So I just can't understand how such a apparently clever businessman can be so hard-headed, it seems. Very strange.
I mean,
very
strange. First and foremost, he's a good engineer and, I was going to say a good leader of people, but this might I note that, you know, he does things like put his desk in the middle of the factory floor and sort of be all-seeing, and clearly that weakens his ability to control, intimidate, encourage, whichever word you want to use, those individuals who are remote from him. But I do think it's a question of the tools. You know, this remote working idea is in some cases, it's going to be very difficult if you're a gas engineer. You have to go to your customer's home or place of business, isn't it? But I just think that there are tools to come. And some of them will be about measuring the attentiveness of the remote worker. And there are already tools starting to be developed where, you know, you can not only just see if someone's sitting at their desk, but what they're doing. And there are all sorts of privacy issues about that. There are also insurance issues, by the way, because your home is now your workplace. Oh, and be careful in this country if you dedicate any single... And I'm not here to give you tax advice, by the way, but I do believe if you dedicate a room or a space exclusively for work... In your home, that you lose your capital gains tax exemption. So, you know, when you sell your house, you don't pay capital gains tax because it's your main home and you're doing it to buy another home. But if one room is permanently used for work and nothing social or domestic, then HMRC could actually say, well, that proportion of your house is going to be taxed when you sell it.
Julie near Newbury says, isn't it time we had a pragmatic discussion about if we want to get the economy up and running, we need to decide which jobs can be done from home and which can't, and then crack on. We need to find a new norm that will make the country grow and be economically viable. We need people back in their offices, especially things like the DVLA and passports. And I don't know how I'd get through my life without BBC Radio Berkshire. That's nice. I love all of you, even if we always agree. Don't you mean even if we don't always agree? even if we don't always agree.
But the
new normal should be what suits certain jobs best and people best.
Yeah. And it's going to be dynamic, isn't it? Because, you know, the pandemic will ebb and flow in some regards. But I also think, just from a commercial point of view, leaving aside, you know, caring about the health of your workforce and their families and the wider community, is if you force people into the office and it's really, on balance, not very safe to do that, then you're going to have your workforce off ill. And then we're seeing increasing evidence of the long-term effects of what's been termed long COVID.
It makes sense to be nice to people you're involved with, even if you're not nice. If you're nice, do it because you're nice. But if you're horrible, do it because it's good business sense. I don't understand why you backpit. Anyway, we better move on.
It just seems a little bit absolutist to me that there are going to, as you say, there are going to be shades, aren't there? Depending on the job, depending on the individual's health profile, depending upon the pandemic in a particular location, in a particular
week.
Seems
to me somebody who's very modern when it comes to cars is not very modern when it comes to work, but there we are. We're halfway through our weekly chat with the gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp. If you've missed part one and you'd like to hear it, it'll be up on BBC Sounds once the programme is over. And, of course, you can subscribe to his podcasts for free at gadgetdetective.com or via the five-letter lady that you talk to, whose name, if we say it, it makes things happen all over the county, but begins with an A, her, or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Right, on to Gadget of the Week now, and it's the ScanWatch Horizon. Plenty of these sorts of things around these days, Fevzi, so why is this standing out for you?
Okay, well, this one's quite unique. So it's from a company called Withings, which is carved out a niche for itself. It's a French manufacturer that produces very, very aesthetically stylish smart devices, so smart watches being amongst them. And we've previously spoken about something called the ScanWatch, which has all sorts of health tracking capabilities, which we'll talk about in a minute. This is a special edition of the ScanWatch, and it is as a classic analog diver's watch. And I don't know if you're familiar with things like the Omega Seamaster and the particular Rolex watches, big, chunky, thick watches.
Poor moi. Don't like them.
No. I've got, well, I actually like them, but my wrists are quite slim.
That's why I don't like them. They look ridiculous. Yeah. You've got to have a man's wrist.
I think they look good. Yeah, I mean, it's, well, I've got a man's wrist. It just happens to be a slim man's wrist.
What am I saying? How sexist.
But if you're looking at this sort of aesthetic, which is a big, chunky, analog, it's got hands on it, diver's watch, and this is very much in that mould, and it's very well made. It's chunky, it's solid, and it gives you all the reassurance. I mean, you know, if you can't, these are not cheap, by the way, but if you can't afford a Rolex, you might think about one of these. But it's got all the smart gubbins of the scan watch in it. So let's deal with what makes it smart. And by the way, it's called a hybrid smartwatch because it's got hands on it and it's got a little screen on it, about half an inch in diameter, small screen. But it's very crisp and it shows you all the information you need, and particularly because it pairs up with your smartphone as well. So if you need to see a trace or something, it's best seen on a smartphone anyway. So first of all, it's got a built-in ECG on it, a one-lead ECG, which is clinically validated to check for a arrhythmia known as atrial fibrillation. It's the most common arrhythmia in the world, and it's an illness that a lot of people don't realise that they've got. And if it goes undiagnosed and untreated, the average person's risk of stroke is about sixfold. But it is treatable, you know, but you have to know you've got it. And one of the problems with having it is that if you get the odd palpitation, so the arrhythmia is where the heart is not beating rhythmically in what's called sinus rhythm, you get, you know, beats bunched up together and then bigger gaps in between it. And this is dangerous. Now, even if you become aware that you've got palpitations, trying to be wearing the monitor, the 24-hour or 72-hour monitor that a GP will give you, to be wearing it when you happen to have an attack is very difficult. So sometimes people go a year, 2 years, 3 years without an actual diagnosis and therefore treatment. But if you've got it on your watch and you feel a little flicker in your heart, you can actually fire it up and within 30 seconds know, and then share those results with a medical specialist if you so choose. So it's got that. It's got the medical grade oxygen saturation meter. That's the things that normally clip onto the end of one's finger and tells you what the percentage of oxygen is in your blood.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's also there. It's very useful. It also does heart tracking. So every 10 minutes round the clock, it checks your heart rate. And if it's too high, it alerts you. So some people suffer from tachycardia, you know, fast heart rate. Typically, if you've got heart rate of over 100 beats a minute and you're not exercising at the time, then there's, you know, can be something wrong. So sleep tracking as well. So it not only tells you when you slept, how long you slept, how long you stayed in bed before you fell asleep, and how long it took you to get out of bed once you woke up, but it gives you the categorization of shallow sleep, deep sleep, and REM or rapid eye movement sleep. And the reason why that's important is that a person can sleep for 8 hours, but be too much of the time in shallow sleep, which is not it's not restorative, and it leads to conditions. Actually, it's funny enough, conditions like sleep apnea, where people stop breathing overnight, and atrial fibrillation are closely related. If you've got one, you've often got the other as well. Mm. So this thing, and the nice thing is, because it's nice and big, this thing, it's got you can get up to about 30 days use of it on a single charge, which compared to my Apple Watch, I get a day and a bit. So I essentially have to charge it all night. Yeah, yeah. Well, it is, because if you're using it for monitoring your movements during the day and your sleep at night, when are you meant to charge it? It's very difficult. And what happens to me is, I get to the last 10%, I put it on the charger, and then I forget to put it on, and then I miss my targets because I've left it on the charger for 3 hours and forgotten about it. So having a 30-day charge time is great. But so in addition to, you know, all the normal stuff inside, so you can get a scan watch for £220-ish, depending on the size you choose. This is about double that. So this price is £500. I saw it for about £450, you know, which is, for a watch of this type, even without the smarts, is considered cheap, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, these watches are not cheap, but it has additional features over and above the standard scan watch in the Horizon special edition, if you like, the diver's edition. So, first of all, it's water resistant up to 10 atmospheres, and I looked it up, and that means 100 metres or 330 feet. So it's that. It's got the hands, the indices of the watch face, the hands and the indices of the watch face are painted with a modern paint called Luminova paint, which is a phosphorescent paint. It absorbs ultraviolet light when you're outside, and then it can stay glowing for up to 12 hours based on having been in the sunlight previously. So, and it's not radioactive. You remember in the old days, they used to paint the hands and indices of watch faces with a radioactive paint. And it was usually ladies. The ladies who used to paint the watch faces used to lick the brush before, you know, painting with the radioactive paint, right? They used to lick the brush and paint the watch faces, and there were lots of cancers.
Doesn't sound like a good idea, no.
Yeah, so, but they use, obviously, a sort of non-radioactive paint, which is very, very clever. It absorbs ultraviolet energy from the sun when you're outside, and then it allows it to glow in the dark for 12 hours afterwards. Okay. It's got the rotating bezel, the whole thing. I've given it 4 stars out of 5. I would have given it 4.5, to be honest, but I just didn't look great on my wrist, but for chunkier men, for more substantially built individuals.
Oh, if only they'd had a chunky critic, they could have got 4.5.
I know they could. But for someone else, it would be a 4.5. But, you know, it's not cheap, but I think for a true diver's watch, which is what this is, with clinically validated tracking features, it's actually a bit of a bargain, and you can pick it up. I saw it for $449. You might find it more cheaply if you search around.
Good to talk to you as ever, Fevzi. Thank you for all of that. More gadget detectivising at about the same time next week.